I'm sorry I'm not able to be with you in person this morning, but my prayers are with you as you worshipped God together. In our studies in the Lord's Prayer, we've come to the fifth petition, that God would forgive us our trespasses or our debts, as we forgive those who are debtors against us. And while I haven't had the ability, in terms of energy or concentration, to do an in-depth study of this petition, there are some ideas presented by the text that I've been meditating on as I've lain here, and I'd like to share with those with you this morning. The text quite clearly is about forgiveness. When we ask someone to forgive us, we're asking them no longer to hold something against us. If we've done something wrong, if we've hurt someone, we're saying that we want them to put aside the hurt that we've caused them and to look upon us as a friend and not as an enemy. I want you first to consider what it is we're asking God to forgive. In Matthew's record of the Lord's Prayer, he says that we're to ask God to forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors against us. What is this debt that we owe to God? We commonly think of debt in terms of money. If I lend you $100, you would be my debtor. But when Matthew talks about us being debtors to God, he's not talking about money. Rather, he's talking about behaviour. He's talking about the way that we live before God. You'll remember that Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. It's a similar kind of idea, really, that we earn death by living sinful lives. But this tells us something more. It tells us what we ought to be doing. If we earn death because of sin, then what we ought to be doing is living life honestly and nobly and in obedience to God, so that we may, as it were, earn life. By living sinful lives, we become debtors to God. We owe him something that we've taken from him. You see, we ought to be living holy lives. We ought to be living obedient lives. That is what he justly deserves from us as his creatures. And every time we commit a sin or disobey him, we're, as it were, building up a debt. We owe him good works, but we have not produced those good works. And so we owe him more and more. In praying this prayer, then, we're asking God not to hold this debt against us, this great accumulation of good works that we never produced. We're saying, do not look upon that anymore. Wipe that account clean. And rather than holding those things against us, look upon us even as those who have produced the good works that you deserved right from the beginning. In his account of the Lord's Prayer, Luke adds a different slant to this request. In it, he says that we're to ask that God would forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is a trespass? Well, you'll all be familiar with signs that say, "Trespassers will be prosecuted." Someone who trespasses on another person's property is walking on forbidden ground. They've been told that they're not to walk where they are, and because they've ignored that warning, they've become trespassers. Imagine that you come across a lane that has a gate across it, and on this gate is the warning, "Trespassers will be prosecuted," and the gate is closed and it's been locked. But you vault the gate and you begin to walk down that road. That's like what happens when you disobey the commands of God. It's as though you're walking on forbidden territory. You steal, and God has said, you must not steal, and you vault the gate and you walk down this road of stealing. Or you may be one who's prone to tell lies and bear false testimony. And the Lord has said, you shall not bear false testimony against your neighbour. And instead you vault the gate and you trespass on this forbidden territory and you walk down this road of lies and deceit. This is what Luke is getting at when he says that we're to ask that God forgive us our trespasses. He's picturing for us this area, this road, this land on which we're not to set foot, and yet how easily we do. We're so prone to leave the way that God has marked out for us and to venture into forbidden land, forbidden territory, and we need to go to God and ask that he will forgive us our trespasses, no longer hold those wanderings against us, but will consider us as those who have stayed on the main road and have not wandered from it. So in essence, what both Matthew and Luke are saying in their different versions of the Lord's Prayer is that we're to ask God to forgive us for our sins, to forgive us for our wrongdoing, to forgive us for our rebellion against him, to forgive us for our disobedience. Whatever way, whatever words you want to use for it, in the end it comes down to the same thing, that God has asked us to live a certain way and prohibited us from living other ways. And when we don't do what he asks us to do, and we do what he prohibits us from doing, then we must go to him and we must say to God, forgive us. Forgive us for this rebelliousness. Forgive us for this wrongdoing. Don't hold these things against us, but look upon us as those who are perfect and righteous and true. But of course, God can't just do that. He can't just wink at sin. We know that God is a holy God, and the only way that he is able to forgive us for our trespasses, to forgive us for our debts, is by transferring that debt to someone else, of no longer holding that trespass against us, but considering someone else as being the trespasser. And of course, the Bible so clearly teaches us that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who has taken our place. He's taken the place of all those who will trust in him as their representative and as their substitute. And he says to God, in our place, look upon me as the debtor, look upon me as the trespasser, and punish me for these crimes that I have committed against you. And God does that. He does just that. He punished the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. He punished him as a trespasser. He punished him as a debtor. And because Jesus has paid the punishment, then those who trust in him are free from that punishment, and instead we have our account credited with his righteousness, and rather than being thought of as trespassers, we're looked upon as those who are holy and righteous and true. What a wonderful thing it is to know that our sins have been forgiven, our trespasses are no longer held against us, our debts have been wiped away. But the great thing in this prayer, the significant thing to note, is that there's a condition here. Well, it's not so much a condition. Just notice the way that the Lord tells us that we're to pray for forgiveness. We're not just to ask God that he will forgive us our debts or our trespasses or our sins, full stop, but that we ask God to do it in the same way as we forgive those who are debtors against us, the same way as those who trespass against us, the same way as we forgive those who sin against us. Now there's a thought. Are you good at forgiving those who hurt you, those who wrong you? Are you ready and willing always to discount the wrongdoing that people have done to you? Are you always ready to forgive those who hurt you? Oh, how hard we find that. And yet, what Jesus is saying in this prayer is that we are to ask God to forgive us in the same way as we forgive others. Do you find it hard to forgive others? Do you want God to find it hard to forgive you? Are you slow to forgive others? Do you want God to be slow to forgive you? Do you hold things against others even after they've come and sought your forgiveness? Then God will hold your sins against you even after you've sought his forgiveness. Jesus is quite clear about this after he's given the pattern prayer, the Lord's Prayer, to his disciples in Matthew chapter 6. He goes on to explain that if we don't forgive the sins of others, God will not forgive our sins. Now that ought to give us cause to pause and consider the way that we live our lives and the way that we treat other people. When people have entered into debt with us, they've not paid us the respect that we ought to be paid. They've hurt us in one way or another. They've stolen from us. Then are we ready, even eager, to forgive them? When they've trespassed upon our good nature, when they've elbowed their way into our lives and hurt us, when they've gone into areas of our lives that they have no business in, are we going to hold that against them, or are we going to be willing and ready and eager to forgive them when they ask? In the scripture portion that we read together earlier from Matthew chapter 18, there we're given the story of a man who was unwilling to forgive someone who owed him a small amount, despite the fact that his own employer had forgiven him a huge debt. Now notice that this man was unwilling to forgive even after his debtor pleaded with him to forgive him for his debts, promised him that he would find a way to repay him. And that's a significant thing. God doesn't call on us to forgive people before they've asked for forgiveness. Indeed, earlier on in that passage, in Matthew chapter 18, prior to the verses that we read together, Jesus explains quite clearly that if our brother sins against us, we're going to go to him and tell him his fault, so that he might ask forgiveness, and so that we might be reconciled to our brother. Now that's vitally important to understand. We're not called upon just to forgive willy-nilly. We're to forgive those who ask for forgiveness. We're always to have an attitude that is ready and willing and eager to forgive. But we cannot forgive someone who has not repented of their sins. We cannot forgive someone who refuses to request that forgiveness. But when they do request that forgiveness, we're to forgive them, no questions asked. We're to forgive them without any conditions. We're to forgive them readily and warmly. And that's the way that God forgives us, when we go to him and ask for forgiveness, but only if we ourselves are forgiving people. We ought to stop and think very carefully about this. What sort of life am I living? How do I treat other people when they come to me confessing their wrong to me and asking for my forgiveness? Am I slow to forgive them? Do I hold a grudge against them? Or am I swift to forgive and lovingly embrace them as a friend once more? Now, the way that we react to other people has an effect on the way that God reacts to us. We need to know that, we need to understand that, and we need to alter our lifestyles in such a way that we will earn the blessing of God rather than his condemnation upon us. How are you going to live your life in future? Are you going to hold grudges? Are you going to be slow to forgive others? Then expect that God will be slow to forgive you, and he will, as it were, hold a grudge against you. Do you really want to be the enemy of God, as you've made this person who sought your forgiveness your enemy? Or do you want to know the friendship and the love of God? Then you must show friendship and love to those who have wronged you but have sought your forgiveness. And remember this, it doesn't cost you very much to forgive someone. Oh, it may cost your pride, but it doesn't really affect you greatly. But when you consider what it took for God to forgive you, that was a great price he had to pay in sending his only son into this world to die in your place. Can you really say that you have a right to withhold forgiveness from those who ask you when it costs you so little, when God has paid such a great price in order to purchase your forgiveness? May God help each one of us to forgive others and to go to God then with confidence that he will forgive us as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary. Amen.